You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show, TGIF. Happy Friday to all the listeners out there. Thank you all so much for tuning in this week. It has been a crazy one, but it's been really fun, and we've had some great guests. If you missed any of the podcasts, you can check those out wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm excited to get into it all over again today. There's so many stories out there. The lines are open. It's 844-500-4242. One big story that I wanted to start with, and we are going to kind of keep going back to this throughout the course of the show, just because we have guests planned to discuss this issue, but I could not start with it. And that would be that Daniel Penny, the 24-year-old ex-Marine, turned himself in today and was arrested on second-degree manslaughter 11 days after he put Jordan Neely, who was the homeless Michael Jackson impersonator, into a fatal chokehold. So for people who have not been following this story, and I think most of my listeners probably have, Jordan Neely was a 30-year-old homeless man. He was on the F train, and he was yelling and harassing He was yelling at and harassing passengers. And according to a witness, and so what ended up happening is Daniel Penny intervened. We've seen some video of it. He put him in a chokehold, and Jordan Neely later died. Now, I was reading today, and I wanted just to get these quotes out there now before I kind of break down how I feel about this. But there was a witness who spoke anonymously to the New York Post. And according to this witness, Neely, the homeless man who was acting erratically on the train, and he has a long criminal history and a long history of, you know, mental illness, he said, "I don't care. I'll take a bullet. I'll go to jail." According to this source, he also said, "I would kill a mother bleeper. I don't care. I'll take a bullet. I'll go to jail." This woman also said she thanked Daniel Penny, the ex-Marine, for intervening and for really, and who knows what would have happened, but I'm sure in her mind, for helping the people on the train avoid, you know, being hurt by this person. Now, the witness thinks more video will come out showing the lead up to the chokehold, which could absolve Penny in this case. The manslaughter charge that he is now dealing with carries up to 15 years in prison. So this is no joke. This is some serious time here. And based off the recent cases coming out of New York, I would be nervous if I were him. I wouldn't feel like, oh, well, I'm gonna be fine. I would really, and I think he's lawyering up. I think he's got a great team. I know he's had a lot of fundraising going towards him from other conservatives out there. But Alvin Bragg charged Daniel Penny. So the Manhattan DA, who likes to stay above the fray, I think it was Politico who told us that, you know, he's not a very political person. He's a non-biased official who just likes to do his job. Well, one thing he likes to do typically is he likes to downgrade charges and release violent criminals on no bail back into the streets. Unless, of course, you're a 24-year-old ex-Marine who AOC thinks is a murderer, then he might find the time and the inclination to charge you with manslaughter. And I'm actually glad I brought up AOC there because I want to talk about her. I see these Democrat politicians, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Kathy Hochul, these politicians from New York, and they're trying to whip people up now into a frenzy and turn people against this 24-year-old vet. Get the protests going, the peaceful protests, with the Molotov cocktails and people jumping into the subway tracks, and start up this social justice activism for the victim in this case, Jordan Neely. And because they see him as the victim. And while I think it's sad that he is dead, I think there's a lot of victims in this case. And I'd like to discuss that. The only reason that Daniel Penny was in that position in the first place to make a decision to engage with a threat is because of the policies that Democrats like Kathy Hochul, like AOC, eagerly push onto their constituents, eagerly implement into their state and their city. They want to defund the police. They want to disarm the public. And really what they want is that when you get on a train and someone is threatening to harm you and themselves, because he was also threatening to harm himself, they want you to take it. They want you to be a sitting duck. They want you to be the next headline in the New York Post that everybody clicks on and then moves on past. They want you to be like Elizabeth Gomes. A lot of people probably don't remember Elizabeth Gomes. Elizabeth Gomes was the Queens woman, the woman from Queens who was beaten by a homeless ex-con while riding the A train. And by the way, I did a little following up because this story was, I think it happened last year. She's getting a prosthetic eye because the beloved homeless man who beat the crap out of her damaged her right eye to the point where it can't be fixed. So she's going to get it replaced. But that's what the left would prefer. And this, they'd rather you be an Elizabeth Gomes than be a Daniel Penny. Because if there had been a Daniel Penny there to help Elizabeth Gomes so that maybe she would have sight in both of her eyes today, or someone there to help her fend off the attack, well, then that person would be the new villain. Then AOC and her squad members would grab their pitchforks and they'd be more than happy to destroy that person's life. But because the victim in that case was helpless and was just beaten to a pulp, they can move on from that story. That's not something they need to worry about. That's their policies at work. That's their agenda at work. The second someone steps in because there's no one else to help, because this is what we have now in our society. There's no security. There's very few police officers. Because someone stepped up and said, you know what, I'm going to help, or I'm going to intervene here, or I'm going to try to stop someone from being killed. And I read today, actually, that the day before this occurred, that Jordan Neely, you know, I'll hold off on that because I want to print out the story and make sure I get the facts right. But this man had a long criminal history, and Daniel Penny decided in that moment that he was going to do something, and he was thanked by the passengers on the train for what he did. And now he's looking at 15 years in prison. This kind of insanity is unsustainable. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. What do you think's going to happen? You want to disarm the public. You want to defund the police. You want to have absolutely no law and order. You want to let people out of jail before lunchtime when they commit a crime. Bail reform, you know, taking these charges and getting rid of them altogether, letting people back out on the street. And then when homeless people or mentally ill people start threatening others on the train, you want those passengers on the train to sit there and either get the bleep kicked out of them or get murdered. And you don't want to leave them any course of action. That's why if you want to be a good liberal in today's society, if you want to be a good person by the liberal standards, what you have to do in a situation like that when you're on the train is you have to sit down, shut up, and just fingers crossed that person doesn't decide to kill you. But if you decide to fight back, if you decide, you know what, this isn't going to work for me, get ready, lawyer up, because half the country is going to be coming after you. 844-500-4242. We're going to talk to John Cardillo, former NYPD, about this in the 1 o'clock. Another story I obviously want to devote a lot of time to today is the ending of Title 42. Migrants are surging the border, and they're getting their cell phones. They're entering the United States of America without so much as a court date. And the administration, meanwhile, while all this is happening, is trying to tell us that the real problem is that conservative governors are sending illegal aliens on a bus to Kamala Harris's house. That the border czar is actually having to deal with some of the fallout from her terrible job at the border. And again, because it kind of ties in here. Because what liberals expect, they expect these Texas border towns to take it. They're supposed to deal with the flood of illegals at their front door and their front yard. But the second that those people say, well, you know what? We're not happy with this. We don't feel safe. Our kids don't feel safe. We don't have the infrastructure either. We don't want to shoulder this burden anymore. Well, then that becomes a problem. Then the humane, decent, caring, tolerant liberals like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Lori Lightfoot and Eric Adams, the Sanctuary City Committee, then they have a problem. They expect the red states to nod along and deal with it, to shut up and take it. But the second you fight back, the second you say, you know what, again, this isn't going to work for me anymore, all hell breaks loose. They don't know what to do. 844-500-4242. We are going to take your calls. We're going to play a ton of sound. Still a lot of fallout from the Donald Trump town hall at CNN. The anchors on CNN are really, they're really hanging on by a thread. On the verge of tears is how I would describe most people at CNN. And we're going to discuss that. We're also going to discuss potentially changing the voting age to 25. We'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere. More on this when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We are talking about Daniel Penny, who turned himself in today. He's being charged in Manhattan with second-degree manslaughter. This is 11 days after the incident that occurred on the F train. And you know, people text in and they get mad at me and they say, you know, Jordan Neely wasn't a victim. I think there's a lot of victims in this situation. I think there's a lot of nuance to it. I think that this man was mentally ill. He had a long criminal history. He should not have been out on the streets. He should have never been on that train to begin with. And furthermore, Daniel Penny and those passengers should have never been in the position to handle this. It's not something that they were equipped to handle. And then when it doesn't go perfectly, to put it mildly, or when someone dies because other people are trying to protect themselves, then all hell breaks loose. And what do you expect? What do you expect? You're defunding the police. You know, I used to think to myself, it's so impossible to be a cop because if you are in a scenario where you do something and then now we have all this camera footage and people dissect it and people say, well, you should have done this. He could have done that. He could have shot somebody in the toe and that would have made the person stop if he had just shot him in the hand. Why they have to kill him? And you get this dissection from the entire country afterwards and you become public enemy number one. I used to think no cops are going to do anything anymore. They're going to look at a scenario and go, well, I could step in here, but then I might be considered the worst person in the world and CNN will run a headline with my name on it for the next 6 months and destroy my whole family. Maybe I'll just sit this one out. But the fact that this was just a passenger, I know he's an ex-Marine, but he wasn't even a cop. It's amazing that he stepped in. It's amazing that he decided to get involved. And just to give you a little bit more background here, it says Jordan Neely tried to push another person onto subway tracks the day before he died, a Reddit user claims. Now, take that with a grain of salt. It's from a Reddit user. But this is from the New York Post. The day before, a homeless man went on a scary rant on the subway that ultimately resulted in his death. He nearly pushed someone to the tracks at the same station, according to a Reddit user who posted about the incident. This man jumped on me, grabbed my shoulders, and pushed me towards the tracks Sunday night at this very station. I was able to run away, but he got physical and chased other people standing on the platform before getting on an uptown train. Now, do I know this is 100% true? No, I'm not a huge fan of Reddit. But I know this person had 44 other run-ins, 44 incidents on his record, on his criminal history. And I'm not ready to look at this and say that this Marine deserves to be in prison for 15 years. Because I can tell you right now that if I were on that train and someone were acting erratically and that Daniel Penny guy stepped up and put him in a chokehold, and it's sad. It's sad. It's awful that this young man is dead because he has his own problems and he wasn't able to get help and he slipped through the cracks, and that's terrible. But if I were on that train, would I be thinking to myself, thank God. Thank God somebody's here who's going to try to defend us. Yeah, I would. I think a lot of people would. Even if they don't admit it to themselves, I think a lot of people would take a deep breath and say, thank the Lord someone's here to do the tough job and to take the risk and to defend us. Jim, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim. Jim, are you there?
Hey, me? Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, I remember the first thing that sprang to mind when they started talking about charging this guy was, well, wait a minute, where were the people, where are the police? Whose job it is to keep order on the train? You know, if there had been police there, then Daniel would not have been called upon to do anything. You know, by the way, if the police had been there, they could have intervened with Daniel and prevented the guy from being killed.
Yeah, right. But the left doesn't want police. You know, they want less police. And they think that if we have less police, if we just had social workers on that train, then maybe that could have stopped the situation from occurring. It's madness. And you know who had really, really great monologues on this was Greg Gutfeld. This is from a couple days ago. And I'm probably going to play all of this throughout the course of today's show. I just think Greg is so fed up. I know he's in New York, so he's been watching this happen for a long time. But he's had enough. This is cut 7.
Hochul said, you know, that could be you. Assuming that we, society, would identify with an unhinged, violent felon threatening people who've attacked women and children. That could be you. No, no, no. When you say that could be you, Governor, you should be talking about the bystanders who are now the target of losers like you, Hochul. That could be you. You could be the bystander on the train who decided to share the risk and do something to save somebody else, and you could be the target. That could be you. That's the story, you moron.
Yeah, and this is what the woman who spoke to the New York Post, who was on the train, said. She said, this gentleman, Mr. Penny, did not stand up. He did not engage with the gentleman. He said not a word. It was all Mr. Neely that was threatening the passengers. If he did not get what he wants... Neely had a criminal history with more than 40 arrests, law enforcement sources previously told the Post. Gonna go to jail for life? What penalties involve going to jail for life? The woman wondered. Could you tell me? Yeah, it's not kicking somebody in the shin or punching somebody in the face. The Marine could face up to 15 years if convicted of the manslaughter charge. And again, I think that people love, after the fact, to look at this and to pick a villain and say, you could have done something else, or you could have done something different. And I'd love to see, and I wouldn't even love to see, but how do these people think they'd react in a situation like this? Nobody ever thinks, like, you know how Greg just said, it could be you? Nobody ever thinks that far ahead. And I understand why the politicians don't. The politicians have, you know, private security. AOC takes Ubers everywhere, or she takes, like, her private, you know, her car service. But regular people who vote for Democrats, do they not realize this could be them? We'll keep going with this, and we're going to talk Anderson Cooper when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
I can't remember crazier times in my lifetime. Now more than ever, expect the unexpected with ReadyWise. Always be prepared. At ReadyWise, their mission is to bring peace of mind to their consumers by offering high-quality food and gear at a reasonable price. ReadyWise relentlessly pursues solutions to help you be prepared. Go to ReadyWise.com, enter code Howie20 at checkout and receive 20% off your purchase. Or call 800-95-READY to speak with an actual person. That's ReadyWise.com.
Kennedy Carpet is growing and hiring for many positions, including installers, carpet cleaners, water damage technicians, warehouse, and salespeople. If you enjoy a fun family atmosphere, then you will love Kennedy Carpet. Kennedy Carpet offers full benefits and more. In business for 43 years, Kennedy Carpet has employees that have been there for 20 plus years. Find out all they have to offer by calling 1-888-KENNEDY. That's 1-888-KENNEDY.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have full lines, and I have to reiterate this part of it. I mean, I go on the New York Post every day. I go on the Daily Mail. I go on all these websites. I'm inundated with negativity and sad stories and stories of crime. And I can't tell you the amount of times I've read about women like Elizabeth Gomes who are just beaten to a pulp, lost their eyesight, a woman in Times Square, you know, pushed into the subway tracks. And I don't hear any uproar from AOC, from Kathy Hochul, from any of these people, from any of these champions of women. Nobody cares. Nobody gives two bleeps about it. They just move on. They don't even acknowledge it. You're just, oh, sorry, victim of circumstance. Sorry, this is the price you have to pay to live in our liberal utopia. And then in this circumstance, after they push and push and push to defund the police and to take the police out of the subway systems, and then this circumstance arises, suddenly they're going, why did this man need to do this? What is this, vigilante justice? What would you prefer? What would you prefer, people to just sit down and just hope that they don't get killed? And you know what I would love to ask, like some of these politicians who they're so thirsty to get in on this, and they're so thirsty to emphasize the fact that a black man was killed by a white man, because they really want to politicize this, and they want to make this into a race war like everything else, and they just can't wait to do it. But I would love to ask those people, what if it was your kid on the subway? What if it was your kid who was in that sardine can with Jordan Neely, and he was saying, I'll take a bullet, I'll go to jail for life, and he's harassing people, and he's screaming erratically. And it was your daughter who was in that subway car. Do you think that you would be thanking Daniel Penny, or do you think you'd be promoting him going to jail for 15 years? Because everybody loves to talk such a big game. It's very easy to be tolerant and kind and compassionate when you're living in your beautiful home in the suburbs, or when you're AOC with your private security, or when you're Cori Bush and your life matters, your body deserves to be here on earth, and you're protected by all these tough guys with guns. It's very easy to judge someone like Daniel Penny and to judge the people on that subway car who were thanking him after the fact. But it's a lot harder if you live in the real world and you have to deal with the consequences of these horrible policies. Let's go to the callers here. Sarah, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, Ben. Listen, I was thinking to myself, I'm sitting with Trump from a military family all around. Okay, a Marine, okay, is trained to make split-second decisions. Now, when you have, I don't know what they call them now, but in Vietnam, they were platoons. Now, you, every man on that platoon was responsible for the life of everybody else. He made a split decision. This man was possibly going to harm someone by the way he was acting. I think he did the right thing. That was his platoon, and he was protecting them at that moment.
Yeah, and you know what? If there had been a cop in the subway, if there had been a cop nearby, if there had been an armed officer who could have intervened, I'm sure Daniel Penny would have been happy to sit that one out, to not be involved in this. I don't think he woke up that morning and said, this is what I want to get involved with today. I think he was on the subway because he was trying to get somewhere. And that's what you used to be able to do on the subway in New York. You used to be able to get on and get off and get somewhere. And now if you get on, you're taking your life in your hands. And I know that there's some writers out there, like there was a writer, I think, from the New York Times who says the people who talk about the subway like that, it's imaginary monsters. It's imaginary monsters. And that, you know, people like me are just overblowing it. We're overreacting. We're over-exaggerating how bad it is on the subway. But again, that's easy to say when you're on your keyboard in your apartment writing for your Beautiful People publication and not having to actually see any of it firsthand. John, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Grace.
What's going on?
This whole situation kind of, for me, goes back to even back to the George Floyd incident. The five police officers who beat that guy to death, and now this gentleman here. My issue with all of it is, especially this last one. Now, I have no problem. I have no qualms against the gentleman was obviously mentally ill, so he shouldn't have been out in the public, period. I mean, the system's to blame for that. But my whole issue with all these issues is I'm a 225-pound guy, and those cops and this gentleman here, and now I saw the gentleman, what's his name, who got killed. I'm not defending him at all, but I know it doesn't take three. It takes there's three grown men there. They could subdue that little guy on the train without choking him to death. I mean, like I said, I'm not defending his actions. He's a bad guy. What gave that gentleman who decided to get involved, and the moment he got involved, he's responsible for his actions, what gives him the right to be judge, jury, and executioner of that guy?
I don't think anyone's arguing he has the right to be judge, jury, and executioner. And I do understand your point, and I'm actually I think that's why the specifics of the situation are going to matter and are going to come into play. But again, I see these scenarios, and I don't want to conflate it with George Floyd. I don't want to conflate it with any of those things because those things are totally different. And those circumstances were very, very nuanced, and there were tons of things going on. And I said multiple times on this show, I thought the officer who handled the George Floyd thing, that was an abomination. And plenty of police officers came out and said the same thing. But in this case, if you're on this subway, and I don't know, I just think when you watch something like this happen, and then we all sit here in Monday morning quarterback and say, well, they could have done this or they could have done that. I just think it's easier said than done. I think it's a lot easier to do after the fact and to kind of dissect these videos and say, well, why couldn't he have done this? Or why couldn't he have, you know, blah, 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 blah. When you're on that train and you're making a split second decision, I think it's different. Now, will they make that case? They probably will. And maybe my mind will change. I'm not opposed to, you know, changing my mind as I get more information. But I don't think it's right for the same people who promote defunding the police, who promote disarming civilians, who promote this kind of insanity and this kind of lawlessness, to then get on their soapboxes and call for this man to be in prison for 15 years when he didn't ask to be in this situation. And the situation is avoidable. That's the part of it that drives me crazy. It should never have to come to this head because it's avoidable. If you have someone who's had run-ins with the law 44 times who tried to abduct a 7-year-old and tried to beat up an older woman, they shouldn't be on the F train to begin with. Let's go to Gary. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Gary.
Good afternoon, Grace. Grace, I'm 100% with you in the sense that the people that are crying the loudest about this are also the people responsible for, as you say, putting passengers in that position. I don't follow the New York Post every day, but I've been reading enough about the people being thrown in front of trains, people being attacked, people being raped, people being stabbed by mentally ill people or people on drugs in the New York subway system. So the question becomes, am I just going to sit here and wait to be a victim? And I have to say, I think that's the fundamental difference between the right and the left in this country. Most people on the right are not going to sit there and wait for something bad to happen, which is sort of, this whole thing reminds me of when somebody breaks into your house in Massachusetts. Well, your duty is to get away from them or not use deadly force. Well, how do I know that that person coming in through my window is not going to kill me or, you know, do something, burn the house down around me, something violent? I'm just assuming that he's a burglar. So, again, we go back to this. What you look at this guy and you say to yourself, in the heat of the moment, with the information that you have currently available, this guy is acting erratically. There's nobody here to help us. What's going to happen next? And I got to tell you, they better.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Gary. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to add in something here because I'm still thinking about the last caller and Gary's kind of adding on to what that last caller said. But I wonder, too, and we'll never know this, but I bet Daniel Penny wishes that it went differently as well. You know, I bet he wishes that, you know, he and the other the black gentleman who was helping him restrain this man, I bet he wishes they had done things differently. I'm sure he's questioning what he did or you know, his strategy to handle it. And that's something he's going to have to live with now for the rest of his life. I don't think he takes it lightly. I don't think it's something that he's happy that it happened. And so I just... There's so much room to criticize when you're watching this from like 100 feet away after the fact. When you're in those scenarios and you're the one who has to make the decision, I think it becomes a lot trickier. Was it handled perfectly? Like I said, no, far from it. But I don't know what I would do in that situation. You know what I would probably do if we're all being honest with ourselves here? You know what I would probably do? I'd probably sit there and do nothing. And I'd be petrified. And I'd just be saying, God, please do not let this man kill me. Do not let this be my last day here. And I don't know how effective that is either. So I'm not going to sit here and criticize somebody who did do something, even if it didn't work out the way everyone would have wanted it to. I don't like to see anybody die. This 30-year-old kid who seemed to have no help his entire life, slipped through the cracks, you know, was crying out for help multiple times. And there was just no resources for him, no family to help him. It's horrible. But I just think you have to really be coming from, you have to really think that you would know exactly what to do in a situation like this if you're going to cast judgment on this ex-Marine. 844-500-4242. Ronald, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ronald.
Hey, Grace.
Hi, what's going on?
A little earlier, you had said that the left and the Democrats have policies which make us less unsafe, less safe because of defund the police and everything like that.
Yes.
Also, on the other side of the coin, the left and the Democrats also have economic and financial policies which create poverty, more poverty and more despair in people too, as well. It really at times seems like we're living in the Hunger Games or in Demolition Man or something like that. If you don't vote for Joe Biden and buy an electric car, then you're a bad person, but you got to work five jobs to buy a Wendy's Biggie Bag.
Yeah, it almost feels like Ronald, the perfect storm, you know, and I thought this for a while when we brought in all of these best and the brightest in this administration. I thought, I wonder how long the dam can hold with this level of incompetence and these crazy policies where no one's held accountable. It's a free for all. The only people who are punished are people who are, you know, trying to defend other people. And I thought, how long can the dam hold? And now it seems like it is breaking. We're going to play more sound from Greg Gutfeld because he put this. And you know what, guys? If it takes me a little while today to verbalize this, I just try to be very thoughtful on these issues because I know it's complicated. I know there's a lot of specifics involved. And I don't think anybody has the answers. But I know that the answer is not to let this continue. To let this kind of lack of law and order thrive because it's not working. We have a problem. And the only time the left wants to talk about the problem, because they're always telling us it doesn't exist. Everything's fine. It's your imagination. The subway's fine. Crime is fine. The only time they want to address it is if they think they can politicize it and if they think they can destroy somebody like they're going to try to do with Daniel Penny. That's the only time it piques their interest. And that bothers me. Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their Pure Ground burgers are made from single cuts of real-aged Omaha Steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. You can order the Burger Perfection Flight today and get free shipping. Plus, you get $20 off orders of $129 or more when you use promo code GRACE at checkout. Their brand new burgers are bigger with a mouth-watering handmade texture. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight. Jared got his. He's going to cook some up this weekend and give us a review next week. These burgers are absolutely delicious. My mouth is watering right now just talking about them. You need to get your hands on them. So go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code GRACE at checkout. Again, that's omahasteaks.com. Use promo code GRACE at checkout to get an extra $20 off orders of $129 or more. Discover your new burger obsession and then tell us what you think. Minimum order may be required. We will be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
I have a joke for you.
Okay.
The government in this town is excellent and uses your tax dollars efficiently.
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Not a joke.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack Special. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. Might be a great gift for Mom. So go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE to get the 3-pack today. No air filters to replace. 1/3 the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Just go to EdenPureDeals.com. Don't forget to use code GRACE. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should we raise the voting age to 25? Yes or no?
We have a lot of fun stories to get to. This, I would consider one of them. It's an idea that's been brought up by Vivek Ramaswamy, who's running for president. I say, after seeing some TikToks from DNC brainwashed teenagers, I'm going to say yes, raise it to 25.
61% say yes, 39% say no.
Okay, we'll talk more about this later, but let's go to Jeff right now. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on? Yep, you're on.
Okay. There's a man that called in a little while ago talking about, brought up George Floyd and the guy that got that died from his encounter with the Marine. And he's got a lot of things wrong. And let me tell you, I used to be a cop in a town that was just a little north of Marlboro. And we were moving the crews. We had two cruises. We had to move one to the next day's duty officer. And we did that, and the duty officer, I wasn't on duty, I was just helping out. And the duty officer and I were going back to the station when a gentleman in a car caught our attention and said, hey, the guy behind me's a lunatic, he's trying to hurt me. So we stopped the guy, and he was drunk. It was pretty obvious he was drunk. And the duty officer went to put the handcuffs on him because he was under arrest. Well, he socked him in the face, knocked him down on the ground. He was out cold, and the guy was built like a fire hydrant. He was blocky. He was a little shorter than me, but he had a lot more muscle and a lot of weight on me.
Right.
I jumped on him, and I put him in a chokehold, and my attitude at that point in time was not to kill the guy, but not to get killed myself and not to let him kill the police officer. So when they started going with this whole thing about chokeholds and stuff, my advice is don't do stupid stuff so somebody's going to put a chokehold on you. Now, that Marine was in a situation where it sounded like everything was starting to escalate.
Right.
I commend him for what he did.
And Jeff, I want to stop you here because we're running out of time, and I really appreciate the call. I wish I had longer to talk to you. But what you just made me think of is I think for people who aren't, you know, former police officers or who have no training in these kind of situations like yours truly, we kind of get into the mindset of thinking that things operate like they do in the movies. You know, like, well, why couldn't so-and-so just do that and shoot the gun out of his hand? And we don't have that real life experience. So it's very easy to judge things when hindsight's 20/20 and we all think things happen like they do in Hollywood. And they don't. Reality's a lot scarier. We'll be right back with John Cardillo, former NYPD. Don't go.